sitting in front of us, okay? And that way we wanted to shut shuts for a while. So come on up if you like, please. All meetings of this proceeding, now, seeing that this meeting will be taken for us, please note we are starting on time. Roll call, and you are here.
Here. Here.
And accounted for. We have public comment, 5 minutes per person, and it's about items not on tonight's agenda. If you'd like to step up, please go ahead. We'll try to keep it to 20 minutes total, and say your name and go ahead.
I'm the president of Kensington for over 7 years now. I'm speaking to the issue of who's going to put up their garbage and recycling. I just want to say how satisfied I am with the group they do. I know my track and by the same. I celebrate Christmas for them every year. They never fail to take my garbage, even if I don't put it out, and then they find it. But my garbage cans are very heavy, they always come to work. And it's heavy and sticky. We never once complained, but I don't have to let the trail of any kind. I feel that we should be loyal to this company. It's my understanding that they went out and bought new trucks based on their concept that they would be working here. Recycling trucks are double along with garbage collection trucks, and the residue both duty forms as a special kind of truck that they had to buy to take care of us. So that's what I want to say. I want to say that the group they do, even if it means an increase in my fee, which is now approximately $8 a week, which is nothing for holding up all the garbage. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gretchen Gilfillan. I live at 714 Coventry Road, and we've lived in Kensington 53 years. I would like to thank Chief Harmon for acting on clearing the boardwalk where the bus stop is, because it looked a mess, and he somehow got little L's out there and mowed the weeds down, and I really appreciate that, because I think it makes a difference on how our community looks. Thank you.
Anybody else can step up? If not, they will open to board member comments. I have a few. I wanted to give a big thanks to Jack Griffin, to Anita, to Gene Durham, and to Ciara Wood, and their counterparts in El Cerrito for taking the time to look at the tennis court. Their hard work and effort was able to reduce the $7,500 bid to about a $2,000 patch and repair job. So thank you all for that time. It's part of the savings. I really appreciate the volunteer effort that went into it. And I also wanted to thank Maria and Chris isn't here tonight, huh? Maria hosted a public meeting which Kathy and I and Chief Harmon were invited to as guests. It wasn't our meeting, it was theirs. Of concerned neighbors on the Franciscan Way and Sunset and Vika and the adjoining streets, including Highgate.
Thank you.
And a meeting on that. Discussing traffic safety, and out of that meeting, we came to a consensus about the need to hire a specialist at least an hour for that neighborhood to try to come up with some recommendations, and to schedule a meeting with Supervisor John Gioia. He had scheduled a meeting with John for the 25th. Jerry Fahey is out of town, and Director Gioia would like to have him there, if you will, because he really knows more about this than Director Gioia very well. So we're waiting for a recent date, but we will probably have it on a lead night, unless for some reason the neighborhood can come here on the weekend. And we hope to make it into a community effort as a start of one of many meetings on this subject. So thank you very much for having that meeting. Please go ahead.
So, I think it was a little thing
you
mentioned that.
You mean?
Sorry, my Marie Adams, President, Franciscan Way. Trying to get some traffic calming in our area. I thought it was a little late to hear this morning, then, Mr. Council, but what can we do? Meantime, I did want to ask the police department to keep traffic enforcement going. And I think that's in the agenda. I see there's about double as many vacation security checks as there are traffic enforcement tickets. I don't know what is the priority in our community. I haven't seen much enforcement. It's an ongoing dispute, or dispute maybe. And I would just ask for some traffic enforcement until we have that meeting. Thank you.
Those are in my comments.
None of this one.
Okay, your proposal.
I had a couple. Two things happened in this last month that I feel I should have learned from Mr. Harmon and/or you, Chuck, and I hope that in the future it will change. One was that we got together and decided that the budget actually had passed 3-2. I didn't learn that until I read the packet that I received Friday evening. And I think that should have been emailed to the directors immediately upon that decision being made. And
the decision was actually made at the last meeting with only great information about what budget what was needed that caused the decision.
Right, but the decision that it actually passed was made after the meeting, and I didn't find out about that until I got this. It would have been very simple to email all of the directors with that information. I think that's important. That's the budget is probably the most important thing to do. Or certainly it's at the top of the list, and it would have been good to know about that. And then secondly, I learned this morning that Bayview has made another offer, or whatever you call it, and that you and Greg turned it down, which, you know, may or may not be a good idea. I don't know. I haven't had time to study it. But I wouldn't have known about it if I didn't receive a phone call about it this morning, and probably wouldn't have known about it even by the end of this meeting tonight, and I'm the representative. So I think those kinds of communications definitely need to be improved. And then, let's see. Greg, I emailed you and I CC'd all of the board members with a copy of Controller John Chang's data concerning KPPCSD. And I asked you to take a quick look at it and tell me if you thought all of the data was correct, and if not, were there errors, and what would they be? And I emailed that to you on, I believe, the 7th of July. I haven't heard back from you. Can you tell me, did you look at that and make a decision about whether it was correct or incorrect?
Yes. I looked at the report that's posted on the state's state controller's webpage. The data was prepared for the state controller by our accountant. It is correct.
Okay. I would have appreciated an email informing me of that you thought that it was correct. If it is correct, there are a couple items that should be noted by this board and probably by the public as well. One is that consultants were paid $289,120 for the year 2009, which is the most recent that's on the web. That does include legal, but that can be pared down, I believe, and I intend to enter into that when we get to item number one. And then the other thing which I was puzzled by, Greg, was that there are three sergeants listed there, and I thought we authorized just two sergeants.
The first half of the round, we had three sergeants.
And can you give us a little more information on that, why we did? You mean there was a decision made mid-2009? I don't recall. Maybe there was, to go from 3-2.
Yeah, it was made by me.
By you? Uh-huh, okay. All right, that would have been good information to have prior to this meeting. Thank you. And that is all. Oh, one more thing. I noticed that you're videotaping again tonight. You had said that those would appear on the web before, and they haven't, so I'm wondering about the purpose of the videotape.
They can't go on the web. We found out, we tried to download that and put it on the web. We just took up too much space on the web. So what we're doing is we keep a copy, and everybody wants a copy, and then request a copy, and then request a copy. The only thing we're going to post on the website is the audio recordings, and we're still trying to get those all to get some past audios are missing. So we're trying to get those put on there. And like I said, the video is available. If anybody wants a copy, just come on in and order one.
Thank you. Okay, that's all my questions.
It's staff comment time.
Okay. For those of you who haven't driven by the public safety building, the construction, the remodel has begun. I don't know a lot about it. I've got time to get over here about everything we're doing. Apparently we're doing a lot of foundation work in the front portion of the building because it's pulling away from the main building. And it's good to be completed in mid-November. Why that's important for everyone to know is when they start working on the, one of the things the fire department is doing for the police department, which we're very appreciative of, is everyone knows the ramp goes to the back of the public safety building. Because of the grade of the ramp and the way that the Arlington is, has a curvature that's all that surfacing over the years, our cars, when they come out and go up, always bottom out on the back end. And we get a lot of damage, all the bumpers get damaged. We've got some underhand damage and stuff because of that. So we're going to lower that grade or raise it. I don't know what they're actually doing to eliminate that problem, so we appreciate that. And the other thing I need to mention is once that the main remodeling starts, we're not going to be able to park our vehicles in the back. That means that we'll be taking up parking in the front of the Arlington. So our neighbors will be very unhappy with us for a few months. And we'll try to minimize that by moving cars around and stuff and putting them in different areas if we have to. But, so that's going to be an issue in the coming months. As far as good news, National Light Out, everybody knows Tuesday, August 2nd, contact Ed Wilson if you want to have a party or want to know where the nearest one is in your neighborhood. Speaking of Ed Wilson, something Doug and I are going to start in the fall. We actually have a start date set for October 4th. I don't know if everyone's familiar with the Citizens Academies, police departments put on the Citizens Academies. I've got a pamphlet here, I just have to read it real quick. The Kensington Police Department Citizens Police Academy provides community members with an inside look at law enforcement. While at the academy, citizen students are introduced to a variety of law enforcement topics. The AP Academy program is designed to give citizens an overview of the police department's function and operational procedures. The curriculum and teaching methods are very similar to the traditional police academy. However, the once weekly sessions are not designed to train the participant as a police officer. Police officers teach the academy classes. Participants also have the opportunity to meet with the chief of police and staff members. They're encouraged to ask questions and express ideas and concerns to the police employees. And some of the topics during the 8 weeks that we're going to cover, community policing, patrol, traffic enforcement, investigative procedures, emergency management, disaster preparedness, officer safety issues, use of force, communications, 911, ethics, professional standards, criminal law, laws of arrest, legal issues, crime scene investigations, crime prevention, records, property evidence. And the idea behind this basically is like, we hope to have several of these. We have to keep the class limited to like 20 participants per class. And depending on how many people want to sign up and are interested, we're looking at, you know, one or two a year. And the idea is, once we have graduates from our Citizens Academy, we're going to try to use those people that are interested as possible volunteers to do things within the police department itself. I've been here almost 4 years now, and I don't think we've really been able to tap in to civilian volunteers for police services. So I'll give you some information here. Anyway, so we're going to be posting this on the website soon. Like I said, our start date is October 4th. And it's every Tuesday starting October 4th, ending November 22nd, I believe. And Doug Wilson's a contact person. So if you're here and you really want to jump in and be first in line, contact Doug. In the meantime, we'll try to get everything up on the website. Finally.
Chief, can I ask a question? Is that free of charge?
Yes. Finally. Anyone been in the parking lot recently? Notice the new striping?
Parking lot now.
Well, for those of you who don't know, that was street striping was a project, Eagle Scout project by Sean Lee. So Sean came to me several months ago and proposed this. I guess you're not Eagle Scout yet, right? The project part of it. So he's an Eagle Scout candidate from Troop 100. And so he brought me the drawings, he brought me the cost estimates, time frame, time schedule, made contact with the library, obviously us, the church, to make sure it was clear for him to do the project, whatever. And he finished it, what, last weekend?
This previous weekend.
So he cleaned up all the debris, remarked some of the stalls that didn't have markings on them, and remade the ones that were still there. So it looks good. You can actually park your car now without fumbling around down here. I just want to read this letter of appreciation. Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District and Eagle Scout candidate Sean Lee, Boy Scout Troop 100, for his community service Eagle Scout project, in which he repainted the parking space markings in Arlington Church parking lot. The project included cleaning up several parking areas, the marking and repainting of the parking stall lines, and the cost and time analysis of the project. The community of Kensington would like to thank you for your contribution to community service.
Thank you.
The most important part is Dad. I got to check the payback. So, for the materials, he know me until we pay back. So, there you go. Thank you.
I also like to thank Chief Harmon for all his support. This wasn't a one-person project, and Chief Harmon actually was a lot of help throughout what I was doing. So, yeah, I'd like to thank Chief Harmon for all his support.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks.
That's all I have.
Thank you, brother. Let's move on and we're talking about a couple of consent challenge. Before we do that, can I ask the audience to please turn off your cell phones and anything else that might be needed for our meeting?
Sure. I didn't take my turn earlier about comments. And since Kathy spoke about the offer came to debate you, I'm afraid that we're not going to come to that at any point on the agenda, but I don't bring that now.
Okay.
So I just want to say that I was very surprised that they had given us an offer and that you had not communicated that to the board and that you had apparently turned that down without even allowing us to know what was happening.
I'll tell you what they gave us. It was an informal discussion between two attorneys. There was no written offer presented. Jeffrey Schofield asked our attorney what she thought about the notion of a fee increase for this year and the 2% fee increase for the last 2 years and district going to be treated as a customer. And I didn't see a written formal offer. We had an informal discussion. I didn't think the mayor would bring it forward. Clearly, it's to our best interest to keep dialogue going with Mr. Drummy and the baby. We are doing that. We've invited him to present anything he thinks is serious. And this was from his attorney, this is not from him. Now, if he has a formal presentation to make, I'd love to see it offered to the board.
So is that what you communicated to him, that you would like to see a formal presentation by him?
I told him we're more than willing to keep the lines of communication open and see if we can find a mutual satisfactory resolution. I made that point several times.
But, okay, since I didn't receive any of this material, it hasn't been shared with me, I don't know what was really offered, and I don't know what exactly you said. It sounds to me like you're saying that they made an informal offer, and you did say, you and Chief Harmon decided to say, we're not interested in this. Is that accurate?
Yes, I think that's accurate, yes.
So I'm just having a hard time understanding how you have the authority to speak with the whole board.
Actually, that, well, technically, the policy procedure between you as well as in the government code, I maintain that contract. So when they make an offer, it's to me, and I was the one that turned it down. Now, we had just voted June 9th. I didn't see any benefit to what they were offering. It wasn't an offer. It was, like Chuck said, two attorneys talking. But I actually manage that contract. So I think if you have an issue with me not conveying what the offer was to the board.
So they made a previous request, and what we did was we asked the public to give input on that. And it's sounding to me like they have come to the table and brought another option to the table, and instead of bringing it to the public and allowing the public to weigh in, you went ahead and made the decision to just say no and to not share it with the public. Is that right?
Yes. And I will continue to manage the contract.
Can you move on? Public comment is over. If we wait just a minute, we'll get on to the approval of the consent calendar.
How do we then?
I'm not going to let you speak. You pass the public comment portion. If this isn't an agenda item, I'm not going to make it one. Okay? Thank you. Let's do move on with approval of the consent calendar. I would like to pull item A, minutes of the making of the meeting. Is there anything else anybody would like to pull, please?
I would also like to pull age.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to pull?
Oh. Yes.
Okay. What would you like to pull?
Page 37, what is this? Police Department report.
Police Department update, item B.
Thank you. Yes.
Anything else to pull? Okay. I want to pull the major minutes because there was a mistake on page 9. Under staff comments, this has Chief Harmon stating that he believes that a positive vote by 4/5 of the board is necessary to approve the budget. That didn't come out in the comments until after we had already voted on approving the budget by 3-2 votes. And I asked Secretary Gardine about that, and she confirmed that, yes, that does not belong in this particular location. There was a discussion after we took our vote on approving the budget where it does belong. And it is reflected on page 11. So that's my comment. And Kathy, do you have some comments?
So my comment is, first of all, Anita, I wanted to tell you how delighted I am that we received the minutes of the meeting just prior in a timely fashion. And I think, in general, they're quite excellent. And I appreciate that. On page 5, I'm quoted as saying that I use my cell phone to access the World Wide Web and for other business needs. I don't think I said business needs. I don't know what I said, but this is not something that I would say. So I would like, if you want to just put needs, that's fine. But I would like to strike the word business. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not. Excuse me. Okay, on the sergeant summary, Sergeant Paul.
Good. Let's catch up to you. Okay.
Page 37.
Okay.
Let me read that statement that he makes. The District of Kensington continues to remain one of the safest cities to live and raise a family in the immediate Bay Area. It appears that property crime
is down in the district this month, and I would like to continue this trend. I'd like every resident to contact KPD. So my comment on this is, there is no data that we have and that we put out to the public that supports the statement that the District of Kensington continues to remain one of the safest cities to live in. And I think and hope that this district will learn and find a way to provide data so that a statement like this can be made and can be supported with data. I love the statement. I hope it's true, but we can't prove it. We already have nothing. So that's my comment on that.
Okay. Anything else?
No. Thank you.
Let's move on then, folks. Oh, I'm sorry. We need a motion to approve the consent calendar as corrected.
Jeff, please.
May I make a request to amend the minutes?
Well, you can tell us what your concerns are, but the power to amend is really with the board. If there's a mistake, you can tell us.
On page 7, at the very bottom, the second to the last line, using eligible costs data except for audit fees should be inserted there.
Rick
Simonson noted that he did not include the audit fees when he tabulated the allowable costs in his spreadsheet.
Let's do this. Let's ask the media to go back and listen to the tape and confirm
thank
that.
Thank you.
Okay. Nikki?
Yes. I would like to request that the minutes reflect the at least the basic gist of the comments from the public regarding the garbage issue. Since people took the time to come to that forum, I think that they're time to be honored, and there'd be more than just a list that people commented. I think that the list of each person's comment is worthwhile. Thank you for the minutes, considering that was a public hearing.
We know that we'll certainly do what we can without turning these into a transcript, which is hard to do. But
it's supposed to be action minutes. Yeah, I think we all agree about action minutes rather than
it's difficult
quoting everyone.
Mind you, between action minutes and quote.
I'm not asking for quoting, but I'm asking for a general summation of each person's comments.
Let's see what can be done next time.
Can we do that for this one, though? We would have to fix that because there was a
secretary goes on who find it difficult to do that for the 3.5 hour meeting. It takes me approximately an hour to listen to the tape and kind of commit it as it stands, given the large number of speakers we had at the last meeting. Regrettably, I'm in a 4 hour a day position, and given the other job responsibilities, it would be difficult to devote much more time to this effort. And as I understand it, this was committee as a set of action item minutes as opposed to a transfer. I tried to capture as much as I can.
And we do have the audio on the web as well as anybody wants to see it in living color.
I'd like to keep it as action item minutes. I think that's the consensus of the board. That's what we adopted some time ago. We just can't get every nuance of minutes. It's just too hard to do.
I think that skipping a citizen asking for a recusal from a vote is a significant missing.
The things do reflect that to the board.
Very
important
going to listen through 3 hours
at
meeting.
I don't know what's plain, except we cannot have a verbatim transcript.
Yes, for that.
We can't selectively pick and choose which items are more important than the others. They're all important, so the notion is to give as best a summary as we can and let it go from there.
It has
and
been it's common practice to have a summary of comments. Okay. It's not a new thing I'm asking for.
Thank you, Steve. I'd like
to add one more. Okay, this is on page 7 also. If you go to staff comments at the top there, I would suggest that where it says, with the help of members of staff and the finance committee, successfully mailed letters, and then I would add saying or asking to submit protest letters against the increase.
Summarizing the gist of what the doing is about. I mean, no, your point is to clarify what that is about, right?
Yeah, the point was to clarify that the request was for the public to submit protest letters. Thanks.
That's fine.
And I do want to keep you as action item minutes, and Nikki, you're free to submit a written protest if you want. We can put that in the record too, but for now, I'd like to just leave the minutes as modified. We will check on the minutes concerned about what the administrative costs should be, if not in there. But if there's no more discussion, I'd like a motion to approve. You already approved it, it's a calendar, it's done. I believe we can pass that motion.
No,
it's a motion to approve it, it's a calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Looking for a second, yes.
You guys want to share the glory. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No, thank you. Let's move on to district old business, number one, which is on page 46. Let me just put that very quickly. General Manager Greg Harmon will present the Kingston to the board, Kingston Police Protection and Community Services District Resolution 2011-011, establishing the annual supplemental special tax for police protection measure G for fiscal year 2011-2012 for review and possible adoption. This item is held over from the June 9th meeting and is required for board action. So Greg, why don't you lead us through this?
Okay, first of all, I got to apologize. I basically made a mistake. At the last meeting, we discussed in the minutes, the board voted 3-2 to accept the proposed budget for the coming year. And after the vote was taken, Chuck made a comment that we have a budget. And I said, well, we have a problem because we need 4/5. That comment came from my recollection of what was going on a couple of years ago. And there was an effort to move forward with changing the policy. And that change was requiring any deficit budget that the board was to pass would require a 4/5 vote. Now, before we go there, I did a memo to the board as part of the packet, but Joan came in this week, and she mentioned it back in 1992. I have prepared a memo to the board back in July 13th when this issue first came up. The 2009 budget is the first time that the board passed the budget 3-2, and this issue came up whether or not we had a budget or not. And in the middle of the board, I had mentioned that Joan Villegas had, let me get my exact quote here. Where's Joan?
Well, you've got to write it about the commissioner.
My colleagues in the minimum. Here we go. This very first paragraph. On July 9, 2009, regular meeting of the KPPCSU board, during discussion regarding the board, directing the general manager to provide a copy to approve 09-10 budget for the directors and making available online, Joan Villegas had informed Director McLaughlin that per board policy is appropriate. 30.25, a vote of at least 4 board members was required to pass a deficit budget. Since the 09-10 budget has anticipated shortfall, it was passed by a vote of 3-2 June 25th, and it did not need the at least 4 votes as asserted by Joan Villegas. Well, we went back, and luckily it's online, it's on the web, and we listened to the tape. And actually what Pat McLaughlin said, almost verbatim, is at Joan's suggestion, I went back and looked at the policy, and yes, it does require us to have a 4/5 vote. Then she goes on to read the policy out loud on the tape. That is one thing I remember. However, this memo is all about the fact that no, that policy never passed. And one of the things the memo addressed is back in 09, there was talk about revising the board's policy manual. And at one point, there were several copies of different versions of that policy manual out there. I've got 2 here tonight. At the end of my memo, I informed the board that we need to clean up the policy manual. as a result of this, and our attorneys have also directed us to clean it up, and that's something that we need to undertake. However, why we're having this discussion now is, it was my mistake, it does not take a four-fifths vote of the board to pass a budget, deficit or not. Our budget that we passed wasn't a deficit budget to begin with, so even if this policy was in place, it didn't apply to it, but it's not. And having said all that, the board passed the budget with Measure G set at $179 for residential parcel. So Resolution 2011-11 is basically setting, which we're required to by Measure G annually, setting the current parcel assessment at the same 179 as it was in its first year. So what I'm asking the board to do tonight is pass Resolution 2011-11, establishing Measure G for the fiscal year 11-12 at the 179 for single family parcel.
Let's open it up for board comment.
If I could just conserve at this point, Chief is correct in that I should have included language in the minutes that indicated that the budget vote had occurred. It was a 3-2 vote, the budget was approved, and it was after that. But I made a comment that he thought the board was voted too large. I should have made that clear in the minutes, and to President Jones's point earlier in the meeting, I'll clarify that in the minutes of the meeting status.
Okay. Board member comments, Director Lund, start with you.
I'm sorry. Director Lindsay.
I believe that since we passed the budget based upon the 179 and stick with that, that we can get a solid budget, which is a close to bond budget, and that we can take down the whole Measure B, which is now up to $205 per parcel, take it down at approved it at 179.
Okay. I also agree that I'd like to approve this at 179. The maximum we can charge this year would be 205. That's taking into account the cost of living adjustments. We don't need that. The Finance Committee spent a dramatic amount of time looking over the budget and decided that 179 was a fair number, and I'm prepared to accept that recommendation.
Similar to Kathy's comment earlier about not having any communication about this voting issue until Friday night, I just want to ask, when was it determined, Chief, that this was all actually an error?
The next day, following the meeting.
Okay. So is there a reason that we weren't given that information sooner than Friday night?
There's a big reason we can't communicate for the business independently of the board meeting.
Well, you just communicated on Friday night. So if you communicated on Friday night, why didn't you communicate it three Friday nights earlier than that?
We can send the agenda out to people, but we can't conduct board business without a board meeting. Sending the agenda out is permissible.
Well, it seems like it would have been appropriate to have sent out some communication, whether it's a piece of paper that you deliver to someone's house, or whether it's a letter through the mail, or whether it's an email, letting us know that this was actually an error, and the vote that we thought we took was not the vote that we took.
We didn't vote on Measure G at all. We did vote on the budget. We did pass it.
Right, but we were instructed that we had to vote on Measure G that night, and if we didn't vote on it that night, that it was not going to be included in the the tax rolls. And so it was our understanding, based on what was said that night, that because we did not approve it, it was not going to be going forward. It was not the understanding of the board that it was being held over to the next meeting. It was the understanding of the board, based on our last meeting, that that was it.
No, I don't think that's my recollection at all.
That's fine.
That's not mine.
I have it pretty clear that's what we said.
You're welcome to call you a swamp, but I don't recall that at all.
Chief, you remember explaining to us that
I didn't say it has to pass that night. I said we need to get it done soon so we can get it
it on there, it's attached to water, and say that to be done that night, that's why we moved forward and didn't do it, because we didn't have a budget.
No, in my mind. I think that's why Nikki made her comment about wanting to stay here all night long, if it was necessary, because there was a statement by you that it had to be done prior to, I want to say the date was July 1st.
No, I didn't make that statement.
That probably is on the tape. I heard that as well.
Well, in any case, here we are. We have the freedom to vote on this tonight. It is up as an agenda item. And it's before the board to comment on and to vote.
I would ask a question. Is there a deadline for doing the, for passing a resolution for the inclusion of the Measure G funds on the property tax rolls? Is there a date certain there?
Great, that's an answer. That's a question for you. I don't have that information.
The actual date of the passage, I think, August something. It's, I think it's before our next board meeting. I think it's August 12th or 13th.
So effectively, we do have to do it today.
Well, it would be nice to do that. Yeah, I think yes, that's when we're getting the information at the last minute.
Right, correct.
Well, we're going to have a public comment in just a minute. First, we don't have to let the board exhaust its time. So, if the board member, you have one
thing?
This is a budget item, and I haven't been convinced over my time on this board that we actually have a bare bones budget. And as all of you know, I publicly asked for the credit card statements for credit cards used by Chief Harmon and Andrea DeNapoli. And Laurie Metcalf and I have spent hours going over every one of the transactions. And I find that many of them troublesome. And I want to highlight a few tonight because I think that...
Kathy, just to be clear, we aren't talking about the budget, we're talking about Measure G.
We're talking about Measure G.
Can I ask you to speak to Measure G?
I am. Please, Chuck, don't try to stop the public from learning information. Okay, I'm talking about Measure G because you are setting, or we are setting tonight, the amount that we are asking every resident to pay to support the operations of this agency.
Okay.
So I believe that there are a number of expenditures that you could term unnecessary, improper. I want to highlight a few because I think people should think about this as we're setting an amount for Measure G. To start, there were two trips taken by the chief and his wife, Yola Harmon, one on March 1st of 2009, round trip between Oakland and Burbank, and a second on March 28th, 2011, round trip between Oakland and San Diego. And the district paid for Yola Harmon's airline ticket and expenses. And unless Mrs. Harmon was on official business, and was she, Greg?
Well, why don't you go through it with skill and I'll address it.
No, I have a question. Can you answer that? Was she on
official business?
This isn't a spiel. I have questions. I'm a board member. This is an oversight committee. And I am asking you, as our employee, to respond to a legitimate question. Was Mrs. Harmon on official business on that trip?
No, I reimbursed her for her charges.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, you reimbursed her?
I reimbursed her.
You wouldn't be reimbursing her?
The district. And that's what's irritating here. At no time
no, it's not
in your hours,
no
hours of investigation have you ever asked me
about I'm not going to turn this into a shouting match over who said what. You are coming from a position, Kathy, where none of us have seen this information. You're throwing it out as if it's the truth. You're asking questions that are misleading and inappropriate.
That is not true, and I don't want you
I'm going to finish.
Mischaracterize
you. What are you going to ask
it
out to us?
Inappropriate. Mr. Toombs, you
credit card statements, and you yourself did not...
I did not request anything.
I have a copy of it, right?
I did not request that you did it.
Here's the copy, right here.
What is that?
That you received. That's a copy of the Transmittal letter. Chuck, you received it, did you not, Chuck? But that's beside the point, isn't it? You could have read these because you knew that I was in possession of them. So I'm going to continue with questions that the public has
said.
We are not misleading. No, we're not.
You never asked once if these costs were reimbursed.
We're asking right now, we're asking in public. There is no reason, excuse me, it is never proper for an employee to make personal charges on a district credit card and then reimburse them. Okay? Now, we have a few more.
I don't disagree with that.
Brian, you want to take the next one? Alan, you finish your question.
Well, I think I did.
Okay,
the answer is no.
The record reflected the cost was reimbursed.
Well, I don't know that. I want to see that check, and I want to see the date on the check. There should be two checks. You can give me a copy later. I'll be happy to take a look at it and reconcile it.
The food for that trip in San Diego averaged a cost of $160.51 per day. Does that seem like a reasonable amount of money to spend when it comes to spending taxpayers' money?
Again, was it reimbursed?
No, my question is, does it seem reasonable? $160 a day. I work for a private company. I do not work for the government. And when I travel for the company that I work for, I have a limit of $80 a day. And I'm looking at $160 a day for a government employee going on a trip.
Can I reimburse her portion of the dinners that appear in that total? Post reimburses my meals when I'm down there, and I reimburse the district for her portion of it. Now,
Post reimburses you?
They reimburse the district for my meals and my living board and my airfare and the course.
Okay, so the $200 meal in Coronado was paid for by Post rather than Kensington?
Post gives a percentage of reimbursement for my dinner. Part of the $400 I reimbursed to the district included that dinner.
So did someone say that it was okay for you to use the district credit card to put your wife's airline tickets on the credit card?
I've done it in the past in 2009. I repaid the district then. I've done it again this year. I repaid the district. I've done it before. It wasn't an issue.
I think it is their point is well taken here. I will side with you here. You cannot use a district credit card for any personal expenses. If you want to be reimbursed for a personal expense, you charge it on your card, submit your portion for reimbursement, and that's the way it should be. That is reasonable.
Yeah, I have to say, I can't fathom how it would be appropriate ever to put a spouse's personal expenses on a public entity's credit card. Again, I work for a private company. There is no way in the world I would ever, even if I had a company credit card, which I don't, I would not put my husband's expenses, his meals, or his hotel expenses, or his airline tickets on my company credit card. I'm pretty sure it's standard operating procedure for that to not happen with a government credit card. When I'm looking over these credit card statements, one of the things that I noticed was that there was 1 year in which there were nearly $500 in over-limit fees, late fees, and finance charges. Can you explain that?
It was a staffing issue.
Can you do that, sir?
I don't have it right at my fingertips. I think it's 2009. If you have, you can look at it while I'm asking more questions. I'm sorry, it's a staffing issue.
It was a personnel issue. We have to go to a closed session.
Okay, so this is the public's money. This is not just my money, right? This is taxpayer money. This is over $500 in mess-ups, basically. I would call it a big mess-up. If there's $500 in over-limit fees, late fees, and finance charges within 1 year, and you're expecting the public to take a four-word explanation for that?
I'm perfectly prepared to go into closed session at the next meeting if you want an explanation of what personal fees are you talking about. Because we can't do that now, it's unfair to continue to harp on. If you want to go into a closed session next time, Greg can explain to you the personal issues he's talking about. But to continue to drill this issue without the benefit of letting him explain that first, it's really unfair.
Well, I don't think I'm being unfair.
I think you are. I think you are.
Forget you use the word hard,
yes,
drill, and unfair. But you're doing unfair. Stop characterizing unfair questions about the public's money.
If you want to know why there's an over-limited fee, it is a personnel matter. We can talk about it in a closed session, and I will schedule a closed session.
Well, I don't have a question. I just have a closing comment about that particular issue, which is that I think that the personnel issue falls to the person who is overseeing the credit card.
I think the personnel issue has been taken care of.
Oh, wow. Well, it should have been taken care of before we spent $500 down the drain in credit card fees.
Okay, there are a number of charges that appear to reflect co-payments when visiting a Kaiser Medical Center. Mr. Harmon, have you ever used the KPPCSD credit card to make your co-payments?
Yes.
Your personal medical payments?
My workman's comp payment started at Kaiser.
But that would be your portion that you would pay, right?
It's a workman's comp claim. If this was your point.
Okay, I'm sorry, that answer.
Excuse me, President Jones?
Yes.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Chief Barton has already directed me to perform an audit of all the credit card billings that the sobriety commission can have already begun that process. I might suggest the board might want to add this to the work that I'm already doing in reviewing all the credit card statements so that we can assess each of the items that just
to sure sound
good
tonight.
That sounds good. I think that Kathy and I still have a couple questions about individual things, and let me just tell you that because you asked about the credit card fees, I'm seeing that this is 2009, and I've got them detailed here, if anybody wants to take a look at that. And so, let's see, can I add to your list, India, there's a charge for $176 at the CVS in El Cerrito. Chief, do you recall that charge? Have you ever used the Kensington credit card to purchase a prescription for yourself?
No.
Or to purchase alcohol?
No.
You've never used the Kensington credit card to purchase alcohol?
No, that's part of that $200 bill in San Diego's bottle of wine.
Okay, so you have used the credit card to purchase alcohol. What about, do you recall purchasing alcohol ever at the CVS pharmacy?
Before you accuse me of this, please.
I want to stop this.
Yeah.
Board policy 5030.43 says as follows. No oral presentation shall include charges or complaints against any district employee, regardless of whether or not the employee is identified in the presentation by name or by another reference which tends to identify. All such charges against employees shall be submitted to the Board of Directors under provisions contained in Policy 1030. Now, I'm not saying you're on a witch hunt here, but you're certainly on a little expose and having a good time of it. And I want to put it to the appropriate procedure.
I think that's
a good point. What do you think the charges are?
Yeah, what do you
I'm not charging anything.
You're accusing Greg of misusing.
No, you're accusing him of misusing his office and purposes of office. I'm young as you are. You cannot go around the edges.
I'm not going around the edges.
Not only the policy.
I can shout over you if you want me to.
Not like the matters. Not what they saw.
I'm going to take 5 minutes right now, and I want you all to promote yourself. Thank you. You have a 5-minute recess right now. Thank you. Okay?
Get up and the doctor going, what are we going to host him? And you go to the state,
see the video. And if anybody else wants to sit in the front, you can sit in the front, you're welcome to do it. You have to come off the roof in the house, and I'm going to ask that you stop this part of the discussion. I think this is probably more appropriate to explain the session if you want to make complaints about how far the fence is extended. Particularly name one individual, I'd like to be able to put that into a closed session. I would like to bring the discussion back to Mayor G and the notion of how to vote to pass this tax or not. So with that in mind, I would like to invite public comments on the notion of Mayor G.
I'm not finished.
You have to wrap it up, and if it's about this credit card thing, I'm going to ask you not to bring that.
Well, you can ask me, but it's my privilege to speak to it, and I will, because there are a number of trips that were taken, 4, 5, 6, 8 nights that the residents of Kensington paid for, meals, travel, airline tickets, and I don't know how Kensington is one bit safer because these trips were taken. There are local restaurants where 200
Kathy, the chair asked you.
100. I know you're
out of this discussion because it is not going to go anywhere.
$16,000 has been spent on this credit card, and that should be subtracted.